Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, my guest is Marjorie Turner Holman, someone I consider a multifaceted creative entrepreneur and champion. She is the author of three companion books, Easy Walks in Massachusetts, More Easy Walks, and Easy Walks and Paddles in the 10-Mile Rivershed. Together, these trail books lead folks to nearly at least 120 trails in 37 contiguous towns in South Central Massachusetts. Marjorie is partnering for a second year with the Massachusetts Walking Tour, which is using routes from her books to chart their route as they walk from town to town as part of their events and celebrations, which I think is so amazing and cool. Marjorie has appeared on Milford TV multiple times as their source on Easy Walks, as well as delivered numerous workshops on that topic, as well as on topics of oral and personal histories and self-publishing. She's presented to numerous organizations, including the American French Genealogical Society and the Massachusetts Environmental Education Society. Marjorie is also a fellow journalist, having written for the Bellingham Bulletin, Local Town Pages, and the Hopkinton Independent. She has also hosted and produced an oral history interview series featuring 13 local veterans through her local cable television station. And the recordings from this series are now housed at the Library of Congress, which I find just absolutely impressive. And if all of that is not fabulous enough for you, she's currently writing the town of Bellingham's 300th anniversary history. Wow, Marjorie, you are one productive woman. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's just delightful. It's a little humbling listening to all of that. Yep, mostly I muddle along, but thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It is wonderful to have you. So why don't we just dive right in, and can you share with the listeners how you're helping families with mobility issues?
I guess the first thing I would point to is my very, very local. So I help people who are in South and Southeast and South Central Massachusetts with mobility issues, because my books, my Easy Walks books, they point people to really manageable outdoor spaces that can be safely navigated with mobility challenges. I also am an active volunteer with the Blackstone Heritage Corridor. And they do a lot of outdoor programs, and I write for them as well. I've worked with them. They've done some programs with accessible biking events that have accessible bikes of tandems and hand cranks and other such. I went and did specific training with them, and they host events that allow people who otherwise could not ride a bike at all get out on bikes with assistance. And then I also write about that. So I help on in person with that. And then I've also been writing about those events as well, helping them publicize what they're doing. So those are just a few of the things that I would point to of helping families with mobility issues.
Excellent. And I love that, in Massachusetts, I remember when I was working for an engineering company, and really throughout New England during that time, this was probably about 15 to 17 years ago, there was this big push for bike paths and walking paths. And I think a lot of these things sort of existed, but maybe weren't being used to the capacity that they're able to be used today. And I just love that there was some forethought back in those planning stages to make sure that these are trails and these are systems that are accessible to everyone. And
they're getting developed a lot more now. A lot more funding dedicated. No, it isn't that people didn't know about them. They really weren't connected.
Right.
And there's a whole big push now of making them connectable for transportation for anybody, whether they're handicapped or not. But if they're bike accessible, they need to be they're handicapped accessible just by their nature with curb cuts and pavement or crushed stone surfaces that are manageable. We're both people with bikes as well as people with walkers as well as people who have wheelchairs.
So, right.
There's a big investment all nationwide actually going.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, and so it leads me to a question about maybe some of the myths or misconceptions that people might have about being outdoors and being impaired with mobility, and that mobility is kind of a spectrum of things, right?
It absolutely is. People forget that mothers with strollers are. Right. Mobility impaired. It's not just.
I remember those days.
Absolutely. And this is where making things more accessible for the handicapped actually makes them more accessible for everyone. You're not putting up any barriers when you create things that are handicapped accessible. I still remember going out in the winter and calling a business owner saying, You shoveled your stairs. You didn't bother shoveling your handicapped ramp. And their response to me was, "Oh, they don't go out in this weather anyway." Mm. And I was left speechless because, in fact, people with mobility impairments do go out in weather with difficulty. But you know, I'm not an expert in this field. I have my own personal experiences, and I've sort of collected friends who have issues, whether you're blind, whether you're have a cerebral palsy, whether you have a knee that's just gotten replaced, or whether you're parents or whether you're an elder person using a walker. The spectrum is all over the place. And we forget that it doesn't take much at all to become mobility impaired, and it's also not necessarily a permanent condition, but while you're in that state, you can be incredibly limited and find barriers. People lean against railings that I need all the time, and I have to say, could you please move, because I actually need that railing to get up those stairs. I grow weary of it, but it's a matter of continually educating people, and if you're not in that circumstance, you just don't think about it unless you live with somebody else or have good friends or family who are, and then you still aren't that aware.
It's true. I've been in this situation where I've been, you know, toting a couple of young children along. I have a parent who has mobility issues. I had a grandparent who had mobility issues. My sister-in-law just got a knee injury. But if it's not right in front of your face on a regular basis, or if you're not experiencing it or living it, I think it is easy to sort of just forget and not be as conscious about it.
The Americans with Disabilities Act has made a huge difference, at least in making it not only socially acceptable, but legally acceptable to say, you got to do something. You mm-hmm. need to make accommodations. And it's actually made things better for all of us, whether people like it or not, it actually does.
Yeah, agreed. So what are some of the common fears that, or even just hesitation that might hold individuals or families back from getting out and enjoying the outdoors? I mean, this is definitely something that's shifting, but I think there's probably more that can be done to encourage people to feel good about getting out and having that accessibility.
Sure. I would point to the very, very biggest thing is lack of familiarity. Mm. Is if you aren't already doing getting outdoors, if you haven't already, or you don't know what's there, we have what I call rat runs. You know, we go to the same regular places. We stay in our comfort zones. And the places we know that are comfortable, people who are overweight may fear ridicule, especially if they worry that they'll get exhausted while they're out on the trail. not knowing how long or strenuous the trail could be, when to turn back if it's not a loop. Loops, you come back to where you started, but if it's just an out and back kind of a trail, when do you decide to turn around? Those are all things that if you're not familiar with your own limits, your own how much energy you're going to have, I've experienced what I call the wall moving, and that your limit, where you've hit that wall, it changes. And it can depend on temperature. It can depend on type of environment that you're in. It can be just how you feel that day or how much sleep you got the night before. So there's a lot of things that are throw in unknowns that make people hesitant to go out. I typically go out with other people very deliberately because I'm aware of my limitations and that it's important that I have someone who can say, gee, Marjorie, your face is getting red, you're getting overheated, because I won't feel it necessarily. And so when I go out with people, I inform them of my own limitations. I have to let go of any pride of what's there. I like to pass as being very able, and I have limitations, and I have to tell people that. And I don't always like to do that, but it's important that I do.
It sounds like that's a really important question to consider, for anybody to consider when they're thinking about getting out in nature, right? Like really thinking about what am I doing? Am I prepared? And what are my limitations?
I like to say, you want to make sure you get back.
Yeah. So can I share just a quick example of this with you? Because when you said if it's not a loop, really knowing when to get back, I had this experience when I was 8 months pregnant. My husband was skiing, and I decided to snowshoe. And this was in Newry, Maine, off of Sunday River. And I was walking and I wanted to hit this covered bridge that I knew was on the trail. And I finally got there a mile later. Now, a mile for me maybe wouldn't be such a big deal. Not pregnant, but pregnant, I realized, oh my God, It's getting late. It was late in the afternoon when I started. And I thought, oh geez, I'm really tired and I have to walk back now.
That's right.
And it was totally one of those moments where I just just blissfully charged forward and then realized, oh, I have to go back.
Right. So no, figure out how you're going to get back. And I always urge bringing a map. And there's a lot of places now that have downloadable maps. When I first started writing these books, very few places did. And a lot more is online now, not every place. But do a little bit of homework. Find out what you're getting into. Pay attention to the turns in the trail. If you take a fork, turn around. Look at what's behind you now so that when you come back, you'll know which turn to take. I'm not always good about that myself. So it's good to go with someone else, and between you, you should muddle to get back, but you want to be able to get back. And the other thing is pay attention to the time of day. And
right.
Like you said about it was getting dark, December days are very short. And I actually set out about 1 in the afternoon on the shortest day of the year, and then we got lost and we wandered. And I was really pretty close to... We clambered over I don't know how many stone walls, and I was pretty close to trying to figure out where would I tell the police that we were to come and get us. It was really alarming, and we finally found our way back onto a trail. But it was not a good feeling, and I have been a lot more mindful of that ever since. It's not something you want to make yourself have to get rescued.
Right, right. Great advice. Very good. Very
sadly,
good.
Sadly, very close to what I need.
We teach what we most need to learn, right, Marjorie?
One of my favorite things to say. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, we absolutely do.
So in your opinion, Marjorie, what do you consider the most to be the positive impact of your work? You know, what are some of the positive outcomes that people achieve after they've used your trail guides or attended your workshops?
I've heard back from people who, I have a Facebook page, Easy Walks in Massachusetts, and there I won't share just local stuff. I will share basically Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New England, all sorts of information. But when I hear there's another event, like an outdoor festival, a group walk or something, and people will write back and just say, here's the picture from where we went. You're the one who told us about that. And that just pleases me, that something I did gave people the information to be able to get out and enjoy things with their family or friends. It's very, very sweet. I've met people on trails who've stopped and said, oh, you're Marjorie. I just bought your book. That's how I got to this trail.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun.
It's really very fun. So workshops, I get information from people as well as it's giving information. That's how I've learned where new places are to go that I don't know about. People don't just come from one single town when I offer workshops. I also do personal history workshops, and so I get stories of people that are looking for tools for how to share their own stories or share stories of family members that they don't quite know what to do. And I'm able to give them some tools for what they can do. And yes, that's why they hire me as well. But if they want to, here are some tools if you feel like you can do it yourself. So those are some of the things that I've gotten.
Yeah, and your work is so multifaceted, and I'm glad that you brought up the personal histories, and I know that you help aspiring authors as well, and it seems like the common threads between everything that you do is making connections and helping people accomplish what they might initially think they can't.
Right.
And so what inspired you to focus on these particular themes?
Wow. A lot... Boy, it's really hard to pin one thing. I became quite ill at age 37 and was not able to drive for many years. I needed a lot of help from a whole lot of people. I can remember sitting in church and just looking back and saying, not a God heal me, but Lord, if there's some way that I can give back someday, please let me. And so any opportunities I have, I hate to say that it's paying back a debt, whether it's paying it forward. I can never pay back the people that have done so much for me. But I do have ways of being able to pay forward things that have been given to me, people that have believed in me, who've just plain been kind to a stranger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that have changed my attitude, very humbling, but have also given me compassion for immigrants, for people who have difficulty with languages. I have the heart of a world traveler, but I've got the body of a day tripper. Mm-hmm. And so I love to hear people's stories. I love to hear where people go. And so where my easy walks, I only do easy walks, but my husband has gotten me to Ireland where we found easy walks. He's gotten me to Newfoundland, which is a very rugged landscape, and we found easy walks for me. So we've found places wherever we've traveled, and he's taken me to many places now with a lot of challenges, but wherever we go, we search out easy walks. And that's been something I share on my Easy Walks Facebook page as well, on my blog posts. It's just saying they're out there, but it takes some work. And we're willing to do the work because it's so exciting to me and gives me such joy.
Yeah. And just, I mean, I think that that's just so beautiful. And I think that sometimes it's very easy to, I don't know if this is the American culture or what it is, but I think sometimes it's easy to overlook the easy, right? Like we think, oh, we gotta really go epic with this, right? And so then it immediately discounts certain people or certain things, and it doesn't have to be that way. I just love that you're saying, no, what's important is just to get out there and find a way that fits for you, for whatever your ability is.
I am very blessed to, I was a single parent when I became ill and had to do a lot of those things without much immediate help. I found people along the ways and family, extended family. But I've been very, very blessed these last almost 13 years to have a husband who is just bound and determined to include me. We now have an adaptive tandem, and we ride lots of places that were otherwise inaccessible to me. That's how I've been able to see these bike trails. You know, I've been able to get out and go 20 miles at a time. I can walk about 2 miles total before my foot gives out. But on bikes, I can pedal, but I ride on the back, and he provides the balance. So, I just feel like I should have a sign on the back of our bike saying, grace happens.
Absolutely.
Grace in action. People don't realize what they're seeing, but I know.
Right.
And it's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. And it's inspiring. And, I'd love to know if there's a specific lesson that you sort of gleaned in those early days. I mean, you talked about being willing to ask for help, and talked about sort of being willing to just put yourself out there to begin with, and being prepared for that. But is there anything else that, you know, you still sort of apply today that you learned early on?
I'm not sure if this answers your question, but I think about the limitations that I had of not being able to drive for 7 years in suburban Bellingham, no taxi, no buses at the time. I was very, very isolated. And I had wonderful neighbors who included me in things that all of our children were doing. We would have a party to celebrate the anniversary of when she got her sandbox built for her kids. I mean, just silly, silly things. But I would come home and I had a computer, and email was very new at the time. And so I would just write a story about the silliness that was happening in my neighborhood. And because at that time people welcomed email, we got so few at the time back in those days, that people would write me back. And this was, it helped lessen the isolation. And those people who were willing to hear my stories, who would say, gosh, I wish I lived in your neighborhood. And then those were my first writing samples when I first approached the editor of the Bellingham Bulletin, who I still write for 20 plus years later, and said, well, I've started writing these. Would you give me a chance? And I had to get rides to local events to cover things, but she let me have a start. I had always avoided writing like the plague. I had that grammar Nazi on my shoulder saying, you're going to screw up. And when writing was the only thing I had left, I couldn't do the other work that I had been doing. I had been a traveling storytelling performer, and that wasn't an option for me. And this gave me a way of sharing what was in my heart through writing, and give me a chance. You know, those are the things I don't forget.
Right. Right. I just love your willingness to see things from different perspectives and to be true and committed to the things that bring you joy in your life. It's beautiful.
it's what has connected me most with other people. And the family stories, I grew up from a long line of Southern storytellers. I mean, I just, every summer at my grandmother's, leaving there and coming home, I just pestered my mother with questions. And she always willingly answered them and was willing to, she had a story for everybody. And every person we met, she had a story about them. So I really come from a long, long line of family stories are very important, valuable, and to be treasured and passed on. So I do give my mom credit for that and all of the family that she kept us connected with by making the effort to get to my grandmother's every year.
How can folks find out more about you and your books, your workshops, and your events that you have coming up?
I have a website, marjorieturner.com. That's marjorie.com. And I have two Facebook pages, an Easy Walks in Massachusetts Facebook page, and a group that's Easy Walks Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and nearby that people can also contribute where they go. So it's a little easier for people to join in with the conversation.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.